gets it. He's got a man in board in Geary. Game over.
Now here's Raiders' moment. Trot through half board. Kicks to the vacant square. We wait. A true bounce.
Straight down the spine. Geary. Johannesson. Butler. Butler. Goal.
Geelong. Adams. Standing start kick.
They need a mark. It's near the square.
Myerjack.
Open space, Tui brushed his way clear and puffed it through for a goal.
Breville takes the mark. Surely he puts this through from 20 metres out. He's done it so many times, of course he has. And the game is well and truly on.
Across Australia and online at aflnation.com.au. Welcome to AFL Nation.
For McDonald's, the Monopoly game at Macca's is making winners. And Liquorland, always great value.
Semi-final weekends, the consequences now weigh heavily over everything that happens from here. For the first time since 1973, Richmond and St Kilda are drawn together in a final. The Tigers condemned to walk the long road for the first time in their era of success. The Saints, they got the adrenaline rush, the heart attack almost, of a thrilling elimination final win, but they have suffered multiple setbacks in the aftermath of it. They come as heavy underdogs, and Richmond have developed Gold Coast as something of a haunt in Queensland. It is the second semi-final first as Richmond and St Kilda meet this Friday night on AFL Nation for McDonald's. The Monopoly game at Macca's is ending soon. Terms at mcdonalds.com.au and Liquorland. Click and collect in just 30 minutes. Jared Waitley with you. Anthony Hudson's with me. Hello, hello.
Good evening, Jared. Hello, everyone. Great to be with you. Finals footy as it is this year. Interesting talking to St Kilda and Richmond fans and people over the last 48 hours. For the Saints fans, not a lot's gone right since the siren last week in terms of availability. It's sort of like, oh, well, it's a free hit almost. It feels like to them they're not going in with great confidence, but I guess they have on their side the fact that they're able to beat Richmond earlier in the year. And you just never know, do you, in a finals match if they can get things rolling. So, and for Richmond fans, I think they would expect to win and, they'd be a little bit nervous because it sort of feels like everyone's expecting them to win. So it'll be fascinating to go 10 or 15 minutes into this game and go, well, where are we at? Where are we at tonight? So I can't wait for that.
I don't detect in Richmond fans that I know or have corresponded with during the week any dent whatsoever. So if they do happen to trail early, it would be interesting to see how the demeanour goes. Gary Lyon, welcome.
Hello, boys. Therein lies one of the great challenges for Brett Ratton. Exactly what Anthony's just communicated is to make sure that that is not the attitude that is sitting inside the four walls of that footy club right now. Because I sense exactly the same thing. And we've all got St Kilda people that I work closely with one. And that is the overwhelming sentiment. Oh, whatever happens today, what a great year it's been. You go and if that has permeated the playing group, and I'm not saying it has, but if it has, then they're in for a world of pain tonight. So the coaching challenge for Brett is to say, hey, this is not, that is not a pass, you know. And you say it, but they know it is, right? So this is it. They look at it, well, the really strong-willed players will go, you're exactly right. And I don't care about winning the first qualifying final. That's not going to be my legacy moment. I'm going to push and push and push. I will guarantee you there will be one, at least one, who's looking at him going, we lose tonight, Rats. We're getting the pats on the back tomorrow. Don't you worry about that. And the challenge for them is to make sure it's no more than one. Because if it's three or four or five, then they'll get it handed to them.
Does Rats do anything different then in terms of setup or preparation or anything to sort of shake him or shock him?
If we talk to him now, he might say, don't worry, that's not a problem. I know these boys. I know them well. I've been with them all year. And one of the great impressive things is they have never demonstrated that emotion. And if that's the case, then that's fantastic. But I think they've got to be very, very wary of that. And then there's the off flip side of that is you can play with a little bit of freedom.
So I was going to say that is the positive side of the coin, isn't it? If you do take everything that you said, and you're still preparing and you're desperate to win, and how to, but you also have that freedom.
Yeah.
If that can give you something and you do make a good start and you go, hang on, we're going to put a bit of doubt in Richmond's mind here.
Yeah, and the way they played against them back in round six, was it?
Four.
I know it's a long, long time ago, but there are great elements to their game that stack up pretty well against them. And, the Tigers, well, I also sense there's not too much concern from the Richmond faithful as well, and for good reason, because they get the job done more often than not. They're going to have to do it a different way this time, which makes tonight just absolutely intriguing. It'll be a great game, I think.
They've had every misstep imaginable, the poor old Saints. Yeah. His rider in the last minute of the previous game, Carlisle, for family reasons, was departing, and then Long at the tribunal, which they were a bit more surprised about than I think they probably should have been. But nonetheless, is once you pick them out, and watching back last week's game, just admiring how good Ryder was, and Carlisle gave them great structure, even though, you know, Howard was, he was in the votes, as Carlisle gave them a pillar, and Long is so energetic for them. They are three massive outs.
They are. So Ryder, you just rest that, because he was the most influential player, so we know that. But then you look at the matchups going forward. So with Carlisle out, Howard goes to Lynch, you would think. Wilkie set for Martin when he goes down there. So who does it leave for Revolt? So there's the challenge there. Does Marsh go to Revolt? Or do you need Marsh to do some backup rucking?
So is it Battle? So I think that's the decision that they've obviously made. Who goes forward out of Battle and Marsh?
Or do they use Battle on Vlosten or Grimes in the manner that he did against Haynes? They really liked the job that he did in that role. So,
and Marsh has done the same role against other players, hasn't he? So you make your choice.
One or the other, you would imagine, to be the case. And then Ben Long, well, Savage gets that opportunity, and it's his to make of it what he will. So they'll miss the net gain of Lynch, not so much Broad, but Lynch, and the loss of those three that's a big plus in favour of Richmond.
It is, but Marshall has shown he can ruck on his own, and it's not like that's a strength of Richmond. What it would have been was a strength of St Kilda, so that's now not there, but they can cover that. Savage is an experienced player. He can give them run. He can probably give them, he doesn't give them what Long gives them, but he gives them something. He gives them probably better kicking out of defence and run. So you can sort of take some sort of positive out of the changes if you look at it that
it'll
way.
It'll be a different one for Marshall. So you look at all Marshall's numbers, his second halves are much better, well, not much better, but better than his first halves. And that's on the back of Ryder softening him up. And then Marshall comes over the top and finishes him off. So he's going to have to do it. And we know he can do it from the start, but he hasn't had to in recent times. So it's a different role for him.
A coach sells a narrative to the players, and sometimes you get a little insight. And Brett Ratton was starting to build this. I think he might have been on with me on Wednesday morning, and he continued on in his press conference. Inexperienced players getting opportunities in finals, and he had blokes he played with and blokes he'd seen. This was how he's clearly framing it privately, and he gave the insight publicly.
Yeah, you look through history, it's littered with people that have come in and had an impact, you know, all the way back to Dermot. You know, you can go through 95 with Matty Hogg, last year Pickett for the Tigers. You know, people are going to get these opportunities, and it's whether you can grab them with both hands and, you know, make the most of it. And I think we've got players here that are going to try and do that.
Savage in his second game of the season. So, you get that interesting insight. He's clearly drumming this hard privately.
There's a couple of names he didn't think of.
Matty Hogg would be pretty happy to get a run.
Connected to Dermot, Matty Hogg and Marlon Pickett. Well, that is right. He's right, and that's how you sell it. And the best coaches are the best salesmen. By the time they're running out, Shane Savage will be thinking he's Luke Hodge.
The line I loved during the week was from Chris Fagan talking. I'm not sure whether he said this post-match but he's talked about, you've got to win a final more than once. And he talked about how they got ahead and then Richmond came again. And I thought that was a really good line.
Yeah.
And so looking for that over the weekend, not specifically for tonight's game, but it's a good line, I think, and so we'll see if a team gets in front and whether they can maintain that or not, or whether they've got to come again and meet that challenge.
Jordan Lewis gave a great insight. So Richmond are walking the Hawthorne path of 2015. He said he thinks it will suit them, and then he gave, the sharpest insight of what we said. When you're a champion team, you actually, by the end of your reign, you need ultimate consequence. You need to know you're going out if you lose. Otherwise, that's a free hit. And we'll be fine as we'll still win our three in a row. And he thinks now that they have the ultimate consequence. If you lose now, you're out. It will actually really serve them well to sharpen them for the task at hand.
Is it the route that Hawthorn took?
Yeah, in 15. So in their third flag, they lost in Perth against the Eagles. Yep. And then they beat Adelaide at the G, had to go back to Perth to beat Fremantle and then whack the Eagles when they got them again in a grand final.
Well, it is a great observation. So there was this sense that, there was a sense last week against Brisbane as we watched it that they were affronted. You know, let's say, hey, how dare you? You know, and even to the point where early I just thought that the Brisbane Lions were a touch differential and that all swung. And when it swung, it was like, hang on, I mean, this is not supposed to be happening. And there will be none of that tonight. But you would imagine they'll be aggressive and on the front foot right from the word go. So, yeah, it shapes as a beauty. I mean, I know the Richmond and Geelong supporters will never agree, but it did the competition a massive favour last week, just seeing them having to go this different route and having those route and those other two boys clubs sitting there and saying, righto, come to us when you're ready.
I know we'll keep digging down into the game a little later on elements like this, but Kingy stat last night on your preview show, Gaz, about Dustin Martin. Oh. And his influence this year, you know, I think score involvement's either been one or two all the way through, but this year he's 14th. Still very good. But his actual impact on scoring just hasn't been as significant as what it has been previously. So although he was outstanding, obviously, in the first half last week to the point where they've got to do something about it, and they didn't specifically, but they just got on top in the game. But it will be interesting to see what influence he has tonight, won't it, forward centre?
So the forward 50 targets last week, and this is where Lynch becomes so important, but the great surprise in amongst all this is that Revolt was targeted 13 times when they went forward. We know that, and that's a role that he's become less accustomed to, so I had to assume it again. He kicks two goals, does his job. Chole targeted 5 times, no goals, and probably mucked up another 10. Rioli did the job, got 2. Castagna got 1. Dustin Martin was targeted none. They never went to him. They never went to him inside forward 50 last week.
Amazing, isn't it?
It is. It's a staggering thing, you know. Even when things are not quite chugging along, especially when there's not Tom Lynch, you would have thought at some stage, halfway through the second quarter or halfway through the third, it's clear out. Put him down there and see if he can do his magic. I think Callum Wilkie will be preparing for that occurrence at some stage tonight.
I know we'll get to the nitty-gritty as we go along. When you did the Richmond team, do you feel like they're overstocked for defenders?
I do. And I'm wondering whether there's going to be maybe even a late change. I just haven't counted that out, although I have no intelligence. I'm just looking at...
They don't generally do late changes, Richmond, so would be a surprise if that happens.
So Asprey, Grimes, Bolter, Baker, Broad, Hooley, Lost and Short. There's 8.
Yeah. Well, who's the second ruck? It appears as if Broad's come in to play that role.
It does, doesn't it?
He has done. He did do it. I think even in this game earlier in the year, he did a few ruck contests, and he's done it occasionally. And has done some of it in their training, apparently,
and did it poorly. But it doesn't.
That's true.
It doesn't seem to worry them. I can only count 4 bona fide, so 8 defenders, but only 4 genuine full-time forwards in a final. So Lynch, Revolt, Castagna, Rioli. And then the rest are all made up of Bolton and Pickett and Martin and maybe, you know, Lambert or Prestia might go and rest forward. So,
well, Art's being dropped. I know it was foreshadowed earlier in the week, but that shocked me, to be honest.
Only 4 players have kicked more goals than Art in the Richmond side, and only Butler, Membry and King have kicked more than him in the St Kilda side. So at a time when you're looking at a forward setup and you're going, yeah, it's a little unusual to only have the 4, and you send out your bloke that's kicked 14 goals, which would have him 5th on the goal kicking. It's an interesting call. So the Broad situation must be for some ruck backup, but I'm not sure that's going to be the defining moment in the game.
it's a strange proposition to even vaguely ponder.
And Gary obviously has had some sort of influence on the broader media, because I just, as I was coming in to check the AFL app, there's a relive the second semi-final or first semi-final or whatever of 1994. There's some highlights.
Well, Anthony,
some bloke went
I got another show up last night pretty specifically just to make sure that they got a mention. Nothing.
Yeah.
I got no mention.
You were trying
morning.
To throw to the tape and it didn't come.
Exactly.
I saw.
Yeah, so there must be something tonight. I'm sure the boys have got
shaking their head.
So that's Richmond and St Kilda, which we will revel in tonight. And then tomorrow night, it's Geelong and Collingwood, which has a completely different dynamic to to it is there's no underestimating the pressure on Geelong, and it feels like a legit 50-50. I've seen the betting odds that I find them perplexing. Mm. This is flip of the coin for me, Cats and Pies, given their recent history, given the momentum shot that Collingwood got in the West, which they bring back, and how powerful a force that can be in final series, and just what the mental demons are, if they're real or not for Geelong.
You two boys sitting there with the beads of sweat just rolling down. It is. It's a fascinating game. So you go, does Mason Cox stick his head up again and continue his finals form? And if so, they're going to struggle to find a match-up for Degoe. Therefore, the goal-kicking problems mightn't be as big an issue as they were, and they don't need to kick many anyway because Geelong have kicked 5 and 4 in their last two big games. Oh, I don't know. I have this suspicion. I have a gut feel that Geelong are going to get it right. I think there are lots of things about last week that they got right that probably we don't pay much attention to because ultimately they lost. And then the bloke up at full forward, whether you like it or not, it's almost a D-Day moment for him tomorrow. And that is Tom Hawkins. So his goal kicking through the finals it's really interesting reading. And his most recent form, 3 times goalless. Once was last week. The other time was against Collingwood back in round 7. And then there was one, I think it was against Hawthorn way back at the start of the year. So all of those things conspire. And look at these. I read these out this morning. I don't know. I'll get your thoughts on this. This is since round 16. I know he had really good finals moments. Announced himself as a footballer. In fact, on a big final stage. But since 2016, he's kicked 2-1, 1-1, 1-2, none, 4-none in finals. Tim made a really good point. He said if we were in the States, he gets smashed on that record. They go, no, this is free. Don't worry about the home and away stuff. That is where you make your mark. And I think he's made his mark there, so I don't discount what he did before 2016. But that there tells you he's overdue, I reckon.
It is fascinating, that record, isn't it? Because he announced himself in a grand final. He was a flawed player back then in terms of kicking. He's one of the few players that really got on top of his goal kicking in his career, something that was an issue for him. And yet it's come back to bite him a few times. And again, it's that chicken or the egg thing. Is he just reflective of Geelong's poor form in some of those finals?
So I reckon they're a great academic study at the moment, Geelong, if you try to put it all together. And it's not going to count for anything if they go out in straight sets. Like there'll be no depth or nuance to it. It will just be, quite rightly, blunt force trauma.
And what sort of impact does that have on the lead up? And I know Chris is superbly cool and calm and presents magnificently, but is that weighing on him and the football club as they prepare? Paddy Dangerfield's looking at it going, hey, come on, run out of chances. Gazza's, you know, he's in the absolute twilight of the most magnificent of careers. So
I know this is a discussion probably for post-game, but does it change what they do at the end of for next year, do you think? If they win this one, so they don't win the flag, but they win this one, does that change? Do they reload and go with Crouch?
Well, it probably then kicks on to where do they finish and how do they finish? So what happens in a preliminary final?
So Crouch, Higgins and Cameron arrive, then they're ready to go again.
Yeah, not sure they can get them all, can they?
I don't know. Who knows?
So this is Chris Scott's mode, and he's been pretty consistent around finals through the 2 weeks and how he's framed his conversation.
There's also been a lot of hard work to get to this point where we've given ourselves a chance. Not many teams have had the chances consistently as we have, and we consider it a privilege. I think Doc Rivers said that really well in a Netflix documentary, if you want to dig it up. Pressure is a privilege. We all feel it, and we handle it in different ways. We'll be up and about.
And Doc Rivers just got sacked as the Clippers coach because they can't win playoff series. And nobody thinks Doc Rivers is not one of the great coaches, but the record in playoff series is the Clippers have had enough and just tipped him out.
Best guy for Chris to be quoting.
it's just happened in the last week. Anyway, that's another element to it. What about...
When we spoke about this last... And we've spoken about this week, we spoke about last week, is... How is hub life going for these footy clubs? And you can sort of bury your head if you want and not talk about it, but it is a reality that there are challenges afoot for all of the sides that have been up there for a long, long period of time. Some of them would go deeper than others. And what sort of impact's that having on them as we go deep into a final series against teams? So more importantly, probably more significantly now than at any other time, is you need everything going right for you. You can't have the little hiccup here, or even a bigger hiccup. And maybe Collingwood are an example of a team that got away for 7 days, got away from all of the stuff, you know, that might have been claustrophobic. And this is not having to go at families or anything else, but this is the reality of this very confined circumstances they found themselves in, whereas others have to stay there. And make no mistake, everyone knows there's different issues that are bubbling around, and you know, he's getting sick of him, and you're getting sick of that, and that, you know, I'm sick of sleeping in this bed, all those issues. So you need the most you can coming together, and the teams that aren't are the teams that might battle.
Someone with a deep cricket background but who has an active involvement in footy said to me in the lead up to the finals that no one had put adequate thought into, okay, in a cricket circumstance now, it'd be all families out.
Yep.
Head further north into Queensland and we'll see you as we drop out. But this is business. And it's only, so we've had 6 weeks together, 8 weeks together, 10 weeks together, and it's been critical. And I've been fully supportive of the players the whole way through. But when they said it to me, I thought, they probably missed that conversation.
Yep.
You know, as we zero right in on the end where the consequences are great and where you either have 1, 2, 3, or 4 weeks left, maybe it was time to really send everybody to Hamilton Island and we will come and join you as soon as we're out, but this is business.
Yeah, and don't for 1 second think that's disrespecting the family role in this and the partner role in this and all that, but these are extraordinary circumstances, and if you got to that conclusion, then I could see that as being a real, real positive for some teams, just to say, now, darling, if I'll see you in two, I might see you in a week.
Mm.
I might see you in 3 days. I might see you in 4 weeks. If it's in 4 weeks, we're going to have the greatest trip around Queensland of all time. And I would imagine that this, you know, if that's where they arrived at it, players, yeah, and the families would be supportive of that, I would think.
But your question is good as to whether that question was even raised.
Yes, and it feels like it probably wasn't.
Yeah.
And it was someone who had a very specific cricket background who said cricket has not been the best model for this, but they have found what works.
Yes.
And it's to have families there for most of the time, but not all the time. This is the designated period, and they're not saying that they're perfect, but it felt like, we sort of got to the point where families were going to be banned and that was no good. And then no one revisited it. Oh, should we keep it going the whole way through?
And is there a selfishness in that? There probably is. You know, if people are driving their car going, you're selfish, misogynistic. Well, there probably is. At this time of the year, there is a selfishness. And when I played, I had my selfish moments, probably too many, to be frank, because you just got so narrow vision. But I'd hope if I ever had to do it again with the hindsight of maturity, I'd be much better at that balance. But there would be a time where you go, I'm really sorry, but I need to be selfish in this pursuit for however long, for a week, for a day, in this case, it might be three.
The changes have just landed. So Sam Simpson's going to replace Tom Atkins. That's the one change. So Simpson did his hamstring in the Brisbane game, was it?
No, later
Around
than that.
12,
I reckon it was...
Oh, that's right. He was in the votes that
North
night.
North Melbourne, have been, from memory. Kilda, one of those two games.
It was round 12 and Collingwood's unchanged. So Simpson replaces Atkins as the Port Adelaide game. Was it, Joel? Yep.
It was
Collingwood's unchanged. So they go Darcy Cameron, who played so well for them, Mason Cox and Brodie Grundy. So what worked in the West, they're going to keep going with.
So a little bit less grunt, maybe a little bit more polish around the footy, forward to centre might be what they've opted for.
So Noah Saava... because that would be a structural change.
They are prone to a late change,
though. Yeah, they are prone to a late change, yeah. It's interesting with Atkins because what he brings them, that pressure that he brings them.
He was good enough to be in at a critical set of rounds last week.
He's obviously paid the penalty for the not
getting clearance out.
Gee, that's interesting.
I'd be waiting. If I was a Collingwood, I'd be preparing for a couple of alternatives.
Who are the emergencies there, Jared? Or would they be the obvious ones?
Yeah, I don't think I've seen the full grid yet, so we'll get those up as they come to hand, just the changes to start with. And Collingwood played in probably a different way to what we imagined that they were going to. The way they played Geelong will be interesting because these two teams have had really low-scoring doer matches for the most part against each other. They've been tactical choices and the way that they've deployed, it wasn't the way they played. Here, the emergencies are Atkins, Zach Guthrie, Radaglia, and Close for Geelong. Experience the convenience of contactless online shopping and delivery at Hyundai through selected dealers. You can buy your dream car online today with Hyundai's Click to Buy. And right now, get an extra cashback rebate when you buy online. Visit hyundai.com.au/click to buy to find out more. The Saints chief executive, Matt Finnis, is going to join us from the Gold Coast next in preparation for the semi-final against Richmond. And then we'll be in the Tigers camp with Justin Lepich, who's coming to the end of his coaching run with the Tigers, having brought them so much during this successful run. It's all happening on AFL Nation tonight. For McDonald's, the Monopoly game at Macca's is ending soon. And Liquorland, click and collect in just 30 minutes.
You're listening to AFL Nation for McDonald's. The Monopoly game at Macca's is making winners. And Liquorland, always great value. Friday night footy on AFL Nation for Beaumont Tiles, Australia's biggest.
Second semi-final night on the Gold Coast. It is Richmond and St Kilda. We're going to touch base with both camps on AFL Nation for McDonald's. The Monopoly game at Macca's is ending soon. And Liquorland, click and collect in just 30 minutes. And then we'll stray into the issues of the weekend footy. And it feels like the trade side of things ratcheted up considerably. And a lot of questions for varying teams around their own circumstances and the happiness or otherwise of players and the readiness of lists. I saw the Carlton story was written up. Carlton is in the premiership window and then away it went. All that's happened suddenly. They weren't even in the finals last time. I checked, but you make the right additions and up she goes.
A couple of halfback flankers will do that for you.
So we'll get into all of that shortly, but let's head to the Gold Coast and the Saints side of things with their chief executive, Matt Finnis. Matt, welcome to AFL Nation.
Thanks for having me, Jared.
The last time we saw you, there was a cutaway right in the last 5 minutes of the elimination final. How would you describe your heart rate at that stage?
I was beating out of my chest, I reckon, Jared. I reckon a lot of Saints people might have lost 5 or 10 years off their off their age that night. It was pretty tough going. But definitely one of those games you enjoy more in the aftermath than during.
And so how do you think over the first finals win in a decade for the club?
Oh, look, it was terrific. I think after we beat the Giants a few weeks ago, I think everyone was just thrilled to make it. But, you know, for the boys to really bank that and get the win last week was a credit to, all the effort that the whole team's put in. So, it holds us in good stead for the game tonight.
So how would you describe the dynamic going in tonight, which we've been pondering, all manner of setback during the week, the almighty Tigers in front of you? How would you describe the approach?
I'd say it's been probably a bit similar to the whole year, Jared, in the sense that I think every time that there's been a change, a challenge, the players, our mindset has just been we just adapt and we just get on with the job. I think they've really grown in confidence, the group. Whether that's travelling to Adelaide on the same day you play and then you go and win there for the first time in ever at Adelaide Oval, go back and do it again a week later. There's been challenges that every team's faced this year, but I'm just so proud of the way our team has really just taken it in their stride.
So, Matty, good luck first and foremost. And
thanks, Gary.
Do you say you've had a successful year if you sat there here right now and at the market?
Well, I think if you said to us at the start of the year, would we take it? Playing in a semi-final, every day of the week and twice on Sunday, I reckon, Gary. But now that we're here, I think the message from Rats and has been you don't get these opportunities that often, and so there's a real steely resolve amongst the group that. That this is our opportunity and we've got to do everything we can to take advantage of that.
Yeah, which is the challenge that we were talking about earlier when we just came on air is that I don't think there's any St Kilda supporter at the moment who wouldn't take what you've given them, and even if the result goes against you, they'd still deem it to be successful. And I guess that's the challenge. We don't know the players that well right now, but the challenge for Brett is to get there and say, hey, no one's remembering a qualifying final win in 2, 3, 4 years' time.
Yeah, but I think, and our fans have, they've had to watch from afar this year in Melbourne, but the playing group and the staff have been on the road for, I think it's 95 days or thereabouts. So for them, it's been a long journey and they're so invested in it but they also know what it's taken. And, you know, I guess they really want to, you know, get the return off that, and they want that to keep going. And that's and they're young, Gary, as well. And I feel like there's almost almost like a youthful naivety about them as well, in the sense of it doesn't matter who we're going to play, we'll just keep backing ourselves in.
They're young. Maybe that's just the fact that you're getting old, Matty.
I certainly felt old after last week, had I?
So how quickly did Brett talk about, like, post-game? How quickly did he turn his attention to this week and just, I guess, following on from Gary's question, just, making sure that you weren't satisfied with what you got last week?
No, pretty quickly, yeah. I mean, after the round, whatever it was, 18 game, you know, we had a bit of time and they sat in that moment and the milestone of making finals for a couple of days. But as of last Saturday night, you know, with a 6-day turnaround, Brett was, he was terrific with the players afterwards and acknowledging, you know, what they'd been able to do, acknowledging that he'd had a hard time in the box in that last 10 minutes as well. I reckon it was Monday, they watched the whole of that last 7 minutes, I reckon, you know, as an educational exercise, because, you know, we got the game, we got the win, but that wasn't the way we want to play. But from then on, really, it was all about, this week and the Tigers.
And I suppose to add to all that, you've had a pretty dramatic week in terms of with the injury to Paddy and Jake going home and then the Ben Long situation, which dragged on for a few days. So how has that influenced the team, do you think?
Oh, look, I think the players, you know, they'd love to have Ben out there and everyone was disappointed for him. But whilst that was going on, you know, in video link calls back to Melbourne, it wasn't something which was, you know, in the playing group's front of mind. And I guess, you know, when Sunday night, Paddy and Jake both spoke to the group and, you know, I think there's a bit in, you know, we want to deliver on what those guys have put in over the course of the year as well. Paddy was enormous on Saturday night. It was his first ever win in a final, and it turned out to be the same night he did his first ever hamstring in a, you know, what, 15-year career. But the, you know, the boys, they love Paddy and they want to do what they can for him this week.
How do you go about winning tonight, do you think, then, with the odds against you? Richmond are a powerhouse team. If you were going to mount a case, what would it be?
I think it's about playing to our strengths. You know, really, it's, you know, we've got to be really good around the contest, but then use our speed and try and get through them. And you know, I think that we'll get opportunities to do that, and then just got to make the most of that. I think, you know, when we beat them earlier in the year, that was the formula, and you know, I think we kicked 15 goals three that day, which it was accurate, but it was more about where we were taking our shots at goal, and that's what we've been, you know, when we've played our good footy all year, that's been where we've been getting those shots.
It's week 14 on the road for these four Victorian clubs, Matt. Can you give us an insight into just how monumental an undertaking it has been to have been away for so long and to still be going?
I guess the piece, Jerry, is, you know, when the players and staff first left, it was going to be 32 days, I think, wasn't it? Rats got the group together and it was going to be a five game Ashes series. You know, Warney got online and spoke to them about the Ashes. They had Buff Lehman come and talk to them, and you know, it was a five game Ashes series. I think since then they've been to the subcontinent, to New Zealand, and maybe South Africa on the way back through. So I think it's because you know, it's just kind of iterated, I guess. You know, it's been getting a bit longer, but fortunately for us, there's been something in front of us the whole time. I imagine that, you know, it'd be a lot harder if it was that, you know, you weren't playing finals or your season was done. But, you know, our boys have had a pretty big prize sitting in front of them, and that's kept everyone really engaged and motivated.
Would it have been, for all that went into it, if you'd walked away without winning a final, would it have been even more empty than a campaign usually ending, do you fancy?
Yeah, potentially, Jerry. I mean, although I reckon at the start of the year, you know, I remember you know, Simon Leslien and David Rath and Rath, they sat the playing group down and they said, we think this year is a chance for us to steal a march on some teams who might be ahead of us. And we've been pretty deliberate about the mindset that we've had from the moment that the players left the club after round one for 10 weeks. And so, you know, had we lost last week, we'd still think that we've been able to achieve some of that. But certainly it was very sweet and as I said, we're not done yet.
What we were discussing earlier, Jared mentioned about families and the influence they've had, and perhaps from, you know, in the cricket model, families would come for a while and then leave. Is that something that was ever considered?
No, right from the start, we took a view that we wanted to be as inclusive as possible, and so I think we've probably had one of the larger groups on the road, and you know, that brings its own challenges because you're essentially managing, you know, a bigger party, traveling caravan in many respects. But we found that that's been terrific for us because, you know, as you know, there's ups and downs. You've got players who haven't played a game. They're away from their families. That gets pretty hard. You want them to be staying up the whole time. I mean, Shane Savage, who's playing tonight, he has been an incredible professional all year. And, you know, he's got his family. They've been up here from the start. And I just think that to ask of Shane what we've asked him to do, and maybe he doesn't play tonight if he hasn't had his family up with him the whole time. And what they've done, they've helped other families. So, you know, if ever they talk about it takes a squad to win a game of footy or a finals, I feel like this is the year for that.
Yeah. And having done so well out of the trade period where you really took your fate by the throat and reshaped it, Matt, are you inclined to do the same again?
I'm not sure whether we get five who come into our best 22 next year, but no, we certainly feel like, you know, we've got, you know, some improvement we made. I guess what we're really encouraged by is we've now got probably more confidence in the group coming through and that improvement from within. And, you know, Caulfield and Clark and Marshall and, you know, and Patton and these guys are a big part of that. But, you know, you'd love another quality mid in the mix. You know, probably, you know, some more help, you know, as Max King keeps, you know, developing up forward. So, we'll certainly be, you know, be active. Whether or not it's the same kind of haul as last year, I'm not quite certain at this stage.
Last one for me, Matt. Is Jake Carlisle still a chance if you continue to progress? I mean, is there an opportunity for him to come back?
Yeah, I understand there is, Gary. Mel's heavily pregnant, so he's gone home, and I'm not sure, you know. Hopefully the baby arrives sooner rather than later. But if we were to get through tonight, we'll certainly have a look at how that could potentially work in terms of him being able to get to Adelaide next week. But we haven't spent a lot of time focusing on that right now and haven't wanted to really distract Jake too much at the moment about that either.
Fair enough.
Matt, thanks for your time and good luck for the night ahead.
Thanks for having me, guys, and good calling to you.
Good on you. Yeah, Matt Finnis, the Chief Executive of St Kilda. This is AFL Nation, the pregame show for Beaumont Tiles. Save at Beaumont's Mega Floor Tile event on now.
You're listening to AFL Nation for McDonald's. The Monopoly game at Macca's is making winners. And Liquorland, always great value. You're listening to AFL Nation for McDonald's. The Monopoly game at Macca's is making winners. And Liquorland, always great value. Friday night footy on AFL Nation for Beaumont Tiles, Australia's biggest.
Second semi-final from the Gold Coast tonight. Richmond and St Kilda with the final teams to come on AFL Nation for McDonald's. The Monopoly game at Macca's is ending soon and Liquorland click and collect in just 30 minutes. We've spoken to Matt Finnis. We'll speak with Justin Lepich shortly. We might broaden out, shall we? Because it's been a lively week.
There was one confirmed move today and Melbourne supporters, you reckon Nana Muse hasn't been welcomed back with open arms to Melbourne Footy Club? She's had some messages today. I thought, why is he playing? She's coming back on the wing. But It is great. Not, I want to stress this. Not because he's a Melbourne person, although that's the added bonus. It's because he's probably, you know, if not the best, one of the best in that particular field. He was got down to the last couple at Adelaide. He's done, I think, 13 years or something along those lines. Good, smart footy head. He'd been given a lot of responsibility under Clarkson at Hawthorn, which we know is a proven ground to do your stuff. And gets back to the Melbourne Footy Club, so they're really well received, and I think it's there's a next level of excitement about having a bit of that now in the coach's box.
Just almost separate to that, but as an example, how important is the? What is your view on the? You know, he comes from the club originally. Is that something where that knowledge of the history plays a part, or is it more to what you said, engender excitement amongst the fans?
No, ultimately, if you had the choice of the five best or the five second best who happen to play at your club, I'd take the best.
Right.
So that's just me.
Yeah.
But the fact that he has experience, I think, is a great bonus. And there is a history there and there is some romance to it. But if it's the overriding reason is the romance, then that's not a great result. I think the overriding reason here is to provide some really good support for Simon Goodwin in the coach's box. And so then you go, okay, who's the best in that business? Well, here's a bloke who spent a lot of time under Alistair Clarkson, who started part-time going down and helping out with some kicking and just worked his way through and now sits at his right hand. So I think that's a pretty good place to recruit from.
So we'll do the trades or a little bit of it. So that maybe the positive side of things first. Did Carlton buy the same player twice? Zach Williams and Adam Sard?
Well, depends. I think, yeah, they're both great running halfbacks. I think Carlton may see Williams as a running midfielder.
Do we think he is?
Well, he certainly ripped the prelim to shreds. Now, whether that's enough of evidence for you. So do it on the big stage, albeit in a horrendous day at the MCG. But yeah. I wouldn't count him out. I don't think I'd be absolutely convinced to say he's going to be a great midfielder. I haven't seen enough evidence of that, but he has done it. So if they want to make him a midfielder or that's where they're going to play him, he's got a whole off-season to get his head around that, and he's a super talented bloke. He's got all the tools. He's smart. He uses the ball well. He's quick. All those reasons. So I would imagine that's where they're looking to play him, to give him some support to Patrick and in that midfield, which they've been screaming out for a long time. So then Adam Sard just slides in and takes the other spot, takes Cade Simpson's spot, takes the number six Guernsey. Says, give me about the same size. Give me that jumper. Away I go.
Cade enjoyed a one-on-one battle clearly more than Adam Sard does.
Well, it depends who you listen to. We spoke about this today too, which I'll extrapolate on, is that Adam Sard was great. Magnificent player, 5-year contract, third in the best affairs. We vote for him. Hey, just everything you want in a defender. Guess what? Adam Sard's gone. Oh, by the way, he doesn't defend very well. he arcs up when you put him on someone and refused to buy on Charlie Cameron. That just slid out post. There was none of that narrative around when they were desperately trying to sign him. So I take that all with a grain of salt myself.
What did we learn about Essendon this week? How far-reaching is it?
I think it's pretty significant. There's a couple of ways to spin it. So the Essendon take on it is, okay, this is a cultural change, then it's a cultural change. It is what it is, and you got to get on board, and this is the Rutten way, and he's been involved in premierships, and others are there have been involved in premierships. We've got a good idea about what it takes to win a premiership, so this is how we're going to go about it. I think the other side of the coin would be, you didn't endear yourself to anyone when you didn't play bell chambers for a game. I don't think you've built relationships here. I think you've confused us with the way you wanted to play. I don't think you sold your vision very well. And these blokes just don't walk out for fun. The level of disgruntlement at the footy club is not something that you can ignore, I reckon. And which is not to say he can't fix it, but it's a big... I think he's got the most... He's got the biggest job almost of anyone in terms of getting back to that playing group. And when you've been in, again, I say this every time with you boys, this hub life might be the exception to the almighty rule. But on day dot, December the 10th or whatever it is, or January the 8th when they get back, he's got a huge job to win the group. He's got to win the group over and you know, because the guys that leave have got mates, so they're all affected by this, you know, and they say, you got to then convince and turn around and say, yes, I have the answers, and yes, I know how we're going to win, and yes, I know what a culture is, and yes, I know how to win you boys over, and then there'd be half of them looking at him going, okay, well, do it. Because I don't think, from what I can gather and what I hear and what now who I talk to, I don't think that has happened just yet. Maybe the Worsfold thing was holding back to some degree. I don't know the answer to that. I don't profess to know the answer to that. But I do know that there's a bit of a makeover that needs to be done between the coach and his people and the playing group to some degree.
Leadership's going to be critical here, isn't it?
Yep.
Not from him, but from the CEO to the football manager to whatever other changes, whatever additions are made in the playing group particularly, you know, getting that right as to whether, you know.
So who is that? That's the next
question. Well,
this is part of the, you talk about problem. You go, well, you've had him, you've hokey-pokeyed him. You've had him in, you've had him out. Are you going to bring him back in again? You know, Zach Merritt looking at you going, hang on a minute. Last year I wasn't good enough to be in. The year before I was vice captain and captain elect. And what, now you're going to come back and tell me after 12 months I'm back in? So all that ground's
going to be made up. Jack Revolt went through a bit of that, didn't he? If you're looking.
Yeah, and Richmond's a. Well, I use Richmond often for these examples. I think Richmond a great example for the Giants as well. As Richmond. Richmond won the flag in 2017. Richmond at the end of 2016 were a mile away from a flag, and there were superstar players that wanted out of that footy club. Out. Not just, this tough. Exploring their options at other clubs. So then Hardwick with Cochin, with whoever else is involved goes, geez, we've got an issue here. There are players that want out of the joint, whatever it is, I've been too hard. So the whole vulnerability, the whole purging, the whole empathy plays out. Those players are thinking about going, look at it and go, okay, you got me. I'm prepared to buy back in. And 9 months later, they're standing in the middle of the MCG on the last week of the Premiership Cup.
The game style changed as well. Barmy came. So I want to talk about
We'll talk about Barmy.
Is there another Barmy somewhere?
Everybody's asking that question and has probably been for a couple of years. Every side is the best side of the Hyundai iLoad with a $2,500 bonus exclusive to ABN holders at the Hyundai 2020 runout events. This iLoad offer won't last forever. Test drive at Hyundai showroom today. The pre-game shows for Beaumont Tiles.
You're listening to AFL Nation for McDonald's. The Monopoly game at Macca's is making winners. And Liquorland, always great value. Friday night footy on AFL Nation for Beaumont Tiles, Australia's biggest.
Teams are as selected for the second semi-final. Richmond and St Kilda coming tonight from the Gold Coast.
Loser goes home. Tigers and the Saints. Justin Lepich is going to join us shortly as he finishes up his time with Richmond at the end of this campaign as well. AFL Nation for McDonald's. The Monopoly game at Macca's is ending soon. And Liquorland, click and collect in just 30 minutes. Jared Waitley, Anthony Hudson and Gary Lyon with you. You raised Neil Baum, Hutto. As you spoke with him this morning, one of the most influential administrators in the game and the work that he's done. Adelaide were red hot for him and he's had his own health issues, which means he'll probably stay here in Melbourne.
I am in a position now where I've had a bit of an unusual medical condition, and I've been told that I shouldn't think about doing anything different. And I'm going to genuinely stay at the Tigers over the next couple of years. So I'm really pleased that I'm able to say that, and really pleased that that's going to happen. So
I tell you, there's a whole host of Richmond supporters that are in the same boat. That's great news. Did the Adelaide thing give you cause to sit back and think about it long and hard?
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, no, I took it seriously because things have changed in footy. The whole COVID thing's changed everything, so you've got to at least think about it all. I was in Adelaide for a long time, and my wife's from Adelaide, and, you know, I've got lots of mates in Adelaide, and so I was seriously considered the proposition, but not going to do it, no.
Was that as a football manager or a mentor, or what did they sort of outline to you?
I think as much as anything else, it was sort of godfather of the footy department. I think just to help them with all of that. I mean, there's a significant amount of decision making in lots of different areas, and obviously I've had a lot of experience in all of those areas, and I'm hoping that I could at least help them with all that sort of stuff was the thinking. But I'm not going to be able to do it, sadly.
And I like to think that would have been his formal title.
Oh, he said that with a straight face, yeah. The godfather of the footy department.
No, that's a new title. So you go and look at your org chart or whatever it's called, as CEO, CFO, godfather.
Yeah, perfect.
I think, and he embodies everything. So bottom line is there, that is great news for Richmond. And of course, our major concern is Big Barmy's health. And hopefully he's okay. But if he's had the advice and he's happy with the advice, he's staying at the Tigerland, that's a great result.
It did make me raise the question, though, is there another Neil Barmy? Like, Barmy and I think of Jeff Walsh, they're probably the two that have sort of a similar ilk. They've been around a long time. They're still in those positions. But who are those next group coming through?
So I think the next move may well be, as Barmy did, senior coaches,
yep,
who have got an administrative bent, which Brad Scott,
yep,
fits that category.
So he's one that some clubs are looking at now or considering potentially to look, yep, at?
Alan Richardson would be someone that would sit in that category, I think.
Rockett did it a few years ago, didn't he?
Rockett tried it, yep. So I think that's what they look at then. If you've got that skill set that you can transfer from the coaching to the administrative side, then having coached your own team would be a huge bonus, I would reckon.
The fact that Brisbane have had such success with, well, three sort of more senior types, isn't it, with Greg Swan there already and then going for Chris Fagan and David Noble. That's,
yeah,
you put those three together, they've seen most things in footy, haven't they, over the time?
Yeah, and they've always brought up, their assistant coaches are all of the lower sort of profile, and that's not disparaging. How can you be? They've done such a fantastic job, but maybe that's going to get clubs looking differently about how they go about those appointments as well.
What do you think the qualities are of the godfather role? What do you see in Barmy from what you know behind the scenes, and then what, you talk to him reasonably regularly?
So there's the greatest pragmatist I've come across in footy. And that is, and when there's heat in a situation, which there always is in footy land, whether it be with players, it's whatever, the pragmatist comes in and says, hang on, let's just look at this coolly, calmly, and all of a sudden you feel better as a result of it.
I don't want to interrupt you because that's a good conversation in that, so we'll do it properly in a moment. But Justin Lepich is with us from the Tigers rooms. Justin, welcome to AFL Nation.
Thanks, boys. Good to be on.
What's your vibe heading in tonight, given it's the different road for your Tigers this year?
Yeah, as you said, it is a different road for us this year. But, I think every year's been a little different for us, particularly in the last four seasons. So I think you just got to embrace that part of it. It is going to be the harder road for us this season. But again, I would say you've got to only take it one game at a time. There's no point looking any further than what we've got in front of us.
Has your experiences been tapped? Because there are pretty rich similarities to 2003 and what you went through trying to win your third?
Yeah, there is. I mean, look, yeah. I mean, I think the game has definitely changed, though, in that period. But you're right, the journey is the same. And one thing Damien is very good at is drawing not just on, AFL history, but other sports and things like that of ways it can be done from many ways. But you're right, I've been here. I was in the same position in 2003 and had to go to Sydney to a prelim and do it the hard way. So it can be done, and I've lived it, so I know it can be done.
Hey, good on you, Lepa. Good luck tonight, mate. If you could be guaranteed in 3 hours or 4 hours or whatever it's over that you sit back and you go, yeah, we fixed that from last week, what would be at the top of that list, the thing you'd like to do better?
I think the biggest thing you fix is how the opposition scored the most or stopped you scoring. I think that the biggest way Brisbane scored last week was probably from a lot of the things we gave them, to be honest, and a bit of discipline. And probably the disciplines and stuff we all talk about was the 50s and those sorts of things, but little things like D50 stoppages, just not being organised. I mean, I think that's a little discipline too. So you look at those things, we've addressed all that, that part of the game. So you hope that's fixed as well. But also just some of our offensive flow. Well, we had more injuries than Brisbane. We just couldn't capitalise. It's unlike us. But I think sometimes it's a flow-on effect. You know, when you're frustrated and you make mistakes, you don't tend to see the game clearly. So maybe that goes hand in hand.
And the challenge, you just don't sit back and go, oh, well, Lynch, you'll fix that. I mean, you still got to play the way that you want to play.
Oh, yeah. I think one thing in the modern game is that the full forward, you know, is really as complementary as the ball coming in. And as I mentioned, Jack, you'd think on paper, you know, Jack Riewoldt and Ryan Lester's a good matchup, but when you move it the way we do, and Harris Andrews has just been able to come in third in the whole game and play the way they want to play, we just didn't really help our forward. So if we do that again, it's not going to matter who's down there, guys.
And from the back six point of view, I mean, these are all numbers that would be so familiar to you, but when we see no intercept marking in the back 50, it's so different, so un-Richmond. I mean, you'd be prepared for them to try and put that in place again?
Yeah, I think so. One thing, Brisbane have always done that. They've engaged our defenders, and not only that, had a ruck that runs really hard forward. So often we were outnumbered in our own D50 last week, so let alone have an extra. So look, it's an interesting strategy, of course, because obviously you're loading lots of numbers in your own, and you've obviously got a win stoppage and win clearance to do that well. So, there's some wins and losses in that strategy, but it worked really well for Brisbane last week.
Now, you've got a lot of defenders in your team tonight. Who's not going to play in defence out of that lot, Leper?
I can't tell you that, can I? obviously, the Marby Ochoa going out, which means we'll sort of rotate Bolter and Asprey through that second ruck position. And we often use a third winger, you know, as a forward, but it'll be probably more from the back end than the front end today. So there's a bit more mixing and matching this week. It's a slightly different look than what we have usually, than having a ruck, a forward that goes in a ruck. It's more of a back.
The one that surprised me probably was Jake Art. So I think he's just been such a terrific story for you. Obviously, you've tried to get the best balanced team you can, but he's done a good job this year. So that was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the one challenge we did have when Shane Edwards came in back into the team, and Dion Prestia, and is that someone has to miss out, and that probably forces Shea Bolton a bit less midfield minutes and to a half forward, and then the flow-on effect of that is it affects one of those small forwards. So, I mean, that's sort of the way it panned out this week. I mean, every week's different. As we've seen, Nathan Broad was out of the team for a little bit, and, you know, his ability to play a great team role was, even we learned last week, we missed that so much, we needed to have that back in the side. So let's hope we can get the job done and fill the void that Jake's missing.
We've been talking a bit tonight about hub life and just how long the season's been for the teams that are still going. Has it kind of gone in peaks and troughs and different moods and modes within the hub life?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm living at a different hub location. A few of the families are at a different spot. And to add on to that, I've got my wife and three daughters, so I've got three girls that have lived the ups and downs of teenage life too. So it's been very interesting. But you know what, it's been terrific. I think there's been a lot of positives to come out of it. I think everyone sort of is going to get through this period and learn something about themselves and others and probably change their life.
Yeah, Jared, and I could have a few conversations with you about some of those. Leper, Gaz just asked us before off air, why are you leaving? So, why are you leaving?
He's going to get down the peninsula, Leper. That's what you're going to do down there and just drink coffee.
That's it, just hanging with you down the peninsula, I guess. Look, to be honest, the assistant coaching life for me was probably at its end. You know, it's sort of probably getting to that point, after my senior coaching, it was just about done. And I was working towards other roles at Richmond. But, you know, with the way footy is at the moment, there's more jobs getting taken away than put on. So it's probably a combination of factors, really. But the main one being that I think my time as an assistant sort of done. And I think when you know that, I think one thing I learned even from the Brisbane experience is, you know, you can try and cling on for too long and sort of, you know, burn yourself out and make yourself dry. But I think the timing's really important. And whilst maybe I wasn't thinking about this 4 months ago, I think after the course this year and what's happened, I've sort of come to the right realisation with my family that it's probably the right thing to do.
So would you look at a different role in footy, perhaps, like to maybe be, we were talking about who's going to be the next Barmy, but to be that style of person?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's where, I think once I'm sort of person who's looking for, you know, a challenge in life, and I just think probably doing what I do now is probably just at its limits. I mean, I probably convinced myself more than anything that that's probably not going to happen in footy in the short term. I don't know whether it is or isn't, but I probably convinced myself that, yeah, most footy departments are set and probably cutting people more than adding them. But, you know, look, I don't think I'm lost to footy at all, but I guess my initial plan is to take 12 months off, and I've got some other business interests as well, and you know, after 28 footy seasons in a row, maybe it's a good thing too to have a breath.
So 28 seasons, you've got one, two or three games to go, Justin. We wish you the best with it, and yes, good luck for tonight.
Thanks, boys. All the best.
Good on you, Justin Leppich, Richmond assistant coach.
Interesting timing, given what we were just talking about. Yeah. So, he could be one of those types for sure that can... I think it's... we've seen a lot of those assistant coaches have made that decision. Lenny Hayes is another from some time out for the season. And I think the reality is that the assistant coach life is a really brutal one. Like, it is time heavy.
And that's going to get worse.
Yeah.
Because there's less money and more work to do.
Correct. So it's going to get worse in the fact they're going to have to work even harder. And financially, they're going to get less. So a lot of that decision-making now is, okay, well, if I've had a real good run at it, is it still the number one thing in my life, or am I doing it because there's no other job for me? And I think those decisions are being made. So I applaud someone with the courage to say, no, I'm going to step away and try something else.
We'll pick up our conversation on the qualities of the Neil Baum position. We've registered pragmatism as a starting point. We'll pick that up with Gary Lyon
next.
Can
I pose the question, Jared? Would anyone hire Ross Lyon to not be the coach?
What, to put him on ice?
No, to put him on... To bring him in as the head of football or...
Godfather.
I thought, yeah, or...
meant warehouse him like Denise Drysdale style or something.
Our match partner for tonight's game is Host Plus, proud superannuation partner of the Richmond Tigers. Host Plus, we go with you. It is the Tigers and the Saints tonight in the second semi-final on AFL Nation. The pre-game shows for Beaumont Tiles. Save at Beaumont's mega floor tile event on now.
You're listening to AFL Nation for McDonald's. The Monopoly Game at Macca's is making winners. And Liquorland, always great value.
For McDonald's, the Monopoly Game at Macca's is ending soon, and Liquorland click and collect in just 30 minutes. Godfather, you could put of the football department, but I just rather like Godfather as the new portfolio in footy. So the Neil Baum qualities, Gaz, you've started with pragmatism.
You've got to be the most rational person in the room as well, which goes hand in glove with that. You've got to have a calmness around you while the storm's swirling. You've got to be able to keep the coolest head. You've got to be able to throw the barrier out there. So when the heat come, the pressures come, you step in front of the media throng and go, righto, what do you got for me?
Yeah.
And by the end of it, the media walk off. The media go wanting blood, and by the time they're done with the Godfather, they're walking off going, geez, a good bloke. Everything's good at that, Joyce.
Brad Elton's are still 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
And this is why I thought he'd be, he would have been the perfect Adelaide Godfather, because we know that town can get emotional. We know that it's a two-team town, and we know they got high expectations. Well, he would manage them. He'd just hose them, just go, go and have a lunch with Rooch, and go and have some lunch with someone else that needs to have a lunch with. And by the end of it, he would have a meeting out of the palm of his hand.
So, where does Ross Lyon fit in all of this in your thinking?
Well, right? I just ponder it as I watch him do his media and do it really well. And obviously there's more to coaching than just the X's and O's, but he's shown a bit of his other side of his personality as well this year in that regard. And so clearly he could still go in and coach. Whether he wants to or not, I guess, fully remains to be seen. But could he take another role, and would a senior coach have the confidence in himself to bring Ross into his camp?
Well, that... there's only one person that can answer that honestly and truthfully, and that is Ross. And then if I was doing the interviewing and that, or you were the person involved, you'd be going and then talking to some of the players that he's played under and his closest confidants to get the absolute... Because if he has any hint of a coaching ambition still within him, then he can't do that role. You don't want him in that role.
No.
You don't want him in that role from a club point of view, because he would loom that large that it would be a topic of constant debate and conversation, and the incumbent would just end up going, what, you want me or don't you want me? And so I think if Ross has parked footy coaching for good, and he's absolutely convincing in that, then he would have an incredible skill set to offer outside of coaching. I don't know whether he's at that stage in his life, though. I don't know.
Oh, I think it'd be fascinating whether a coach, maybe a... if you're a real rookie, you'd be so vulnerable. But if you were somewhere in between and you just thought, that footy intellect, it's clear when you see him talk. Now, he's obviously got some positives and maybe some negatives, but when you see him talk, he's at a level that not that many people are.
Yeah. Well, I think senior coaching is still in his... wheelhouse at some stage. That's the way
it feels that way.
That's the way I read it anyway.
Yeah.
Could be wrong.
How long will he sit on the shelf, man? That's the...
Not too long. No, I think it would be next...
But even a second year would be amazing to a degree.
If it was a normal... If we hadn't had COVID, then he may well be in the reins for next year.
So. I think he can sit on the... When you say on the shelf, I think he can sit there longer these days, Jared, as we transition the whole coaching structure.
I mean less about him and more about can every club look themselves in the mirror and go, no, we're better off with our bloke rather than Ross Lyon? Every single club look in the mirror and do that for another year?
No. And then he may have the luxury of being able to pick and choose a bit too. He may go, nah, not you. Not you. I'll wait for another year or two. That just might be where he's at. And it'll be interesting to see how things unfold in the next... I think for the rest of this year even. I don't think the coaching landscape has a degree of uncertainty around it still.
Yep.
The Jeremy Cameron scenario, which the fact that it's still live and maybe more live than it has been for a month or so has piqued interest, I think. What would it say if he left the Giants, would that be the most telling moment? Oh, well, that he believes they've had their run at it.
Yeah, yes. I wouldn't think it's the end of the world if I was a Giants person, though. That's the way I'd be looking at that. Yes, it would. I mean, he casts a really large shadow and he's a super player and he's a Coleman medalist and all those great things which are undeniable. But I wouldn't let that think that that's the end of the run from a Giants point of view. From a messaging point of view, you go to school and you get the best possible deal you can because he's going to be paid a huge wedge and all those sorts of things. But I think you can still sell that to your playing group. I do. I honestly believe that.
So how?
This is from the outside looking in. He doesn't demonstrate or hasn't demonstrated, certainly this year, as if he's the heart and soul man who wants... You talk about... This is a great quote. You talk about quotes from Doc Rivers. I watched the Jose Mourinho and I played this morning. He talked about people who dive into the swimming pool and get out and they don't get wet. And then he said, me, I am wet before I get in. So what he's talking about is the wholehearted investment. If you want to dive into this football club, then you get yourself soaking wet in this club, and that is you convince him to stay and you walk over broken glass. Now, I think there may have been a time. I think he's not quite as wet as he once was, Jeremy Cameron. That's the way I read that.
Is he right for Geelong as the other party that seems to be in this?
Yes. Oh, I reckon it's an unequivocal yes.
It'd be magnificent for Geelong because...
Would he become their highest paid player?
I hope not.
No, I don't think the deal's anything like that.
Yeah. So he would make that decision.
Because he has been basically the highest... I know it was not an even contract, but he's basically been the highest paid player. Yeah.
And I don't know how the financials of it, so that's hard. And if as you believe, he's taken a massive cut, the biggest cut probably of anyone in the competition because his deal was back-ended, right? So that may... I don't know, and I don't begrudge anyone making a stance on that because once you sign a contract, that's your expectation to get it. But for lifestyle... And not having to be the main man and not have to be the poster boy and not have to be soaking wet. Just get wet. You don't have to be soaking wet at Geelong. You got Joel and Danger. They're the boys who are waterlogged and they're all... And he just gets himself nice and wet, towel off and go home.
Jose Mourinho, was it?
Oh, it's a great... It is one... In fact, it's in the log. We played it this morning. I don't know whether we got it there. The way he says it's great as well.
It's great. Shout out for Tyre Power. Go and see Jeff and Beryl at Tyre Power Whittlesea. And right now, kick straight with a free 5-minute safety check tonight. It looks terrific on the Gold Coast. This would have had 90,000+ at the MCG, these two teams meeting for the first time. I'm aching for it a bit this week. We would have had 190,000 through the MCG these two nights with the two matchups that have landed. Sometimes semi-finals can be the soft week of the finals. This would have been nothing like it.
Great when you get a combination you haven't had in finals for a long time.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the magnificent conditions of that game? Like, where was the water soap? A soapy ball. Where'd that go?
AFL Nation, the pre-game show for Beaumont Tiles. Save at Beaumont's mega floor tile event on now. Ahead of the preview, we have the Jose Mourinho quote that Gary Lyon's talking to us about.
It's better to be, like we say in Portugal, like these guys that they dive into the pool, they leave the pool, and they are still dry, never wet. But that's not me at all. Even before I dive, I'm wet already.
That's so good.
If you're not committed, Anthony, to the cool tonight, I'm going to say, you're never wet.
I'm wet already.
So I did say sometimes the semi-finals are the soft games of the final series, and sometimes they live immemorial, don't they? And there's a performance that just resonates through the years.
Well, there is, Jared, and some maybe it was soft in 1994. I don't know, because someone kicked 10 goals in a game.
Oh, come on, let's
and
not.
The important thing is not so much what you do during the game; it's how you handle it post-match. I reckon.
A bit of a dream, yeah. I think the result is probably more of a satisfying thing than the 10 goals. You know, it's a terrific effort against Footscray, who had beaten us twice through the year, and to get away with a very good win as we have and stay alive is very satisfying.
Terry Danaher there, I think.
What did I say? So you got to defer. You always. That's the Michael Lombardi. You defer to the team always.
The only thing you didn't do was say, just glad to get the 4 points.
Glad to get the 4 points.
That's right.
As Alan Joyce said after they won in the grand final.
How many of them did you kick in the third quarter? Do you remember the breakdown?
Offhand, I think it was 4.
Because Melbourne went 5 goals, 4 goals, 10 goals. It was a 10-goal-to-2 third term, and then 2 goals to finish.
Yep. I came off, and I know I joke about this all the time, and people don't ever take me seriously when I joke about this, but I was off halfway through the third quarter. I had a hamstring. I got a lot of corky in the hamstring. So it was just one of those days. We lost the next week, which was supposed to.
You go to Perth the next week?
Yeah, we played the West Coast over there, and they gave us a bit of a walloping, which is everyone forgets. I try and make sure they don't.
Last couple of questions before we do the preview here. Were you at all surprised that Jack Viney got 5 years?
Yeah. I thought that I was. I'm rapt that he's staying, so I was a big advocate for not losing him. He's done well, that's what I'd say. He's done well to secure a 5-year deal.
Is the Lions clever shopping getting Joe Danaher?
I think it is. I haven't heard anyone give an opposite view to that. I can't see why they would. I mean, I think
Dan McStamon.
Yeah, he probably might. But I think we've talked about their. What they've got and what they don't have, and probably one of the big questions still remain over their big guys, and they have the cap space, they're in the right demographic. If Joe works and if they win the flag this year, he should make them better. If they don't, he could be the missing piece, so I can't see a problem with that.
Take him. If you can, take him while you can. I don't know the money, don't know anything about that. That might change my opinion of it, but he'd be a great pickup for them, and then he's just got to get himself fit. It makes him formidable.
And would it be especially galling for Eagles players, do you think, watching the semi-finals unfold and they're not part of it?
Yes, you would have to think that, because they're a side that you look at on paper who you think should be going deeper than week one of the final series. That's the assessment I would make on it, and they weren't able to get it done. I know it only was a point last week, but things had fallen in their favour. The cards fell right for them, and they weren't able to get it done. So that'd be a huge missed opportunity for them, I reckon.
That's the second year in a row, because they messed up the last round last year, didn't they?
Yep, they forfeited their place in the top four, losing to Hawthorn at home. And then they won their elimination final, but they'd given up all their rights at that stage.
I know Jared Healy brought this up Monday about Willy Rioli. I think that's something they should push hard. I mean, how quickly have we forgotten about Willy Rioli? Willy allows Liam Ryan then to play a bit higher. We know where he's at with his footy. He looks like he's ready to take the next step. So that's something that they got to resolve over summer.
It's just phenomenal how long those processes take.
It's actually stupid. Intolerable.
It is. Yeah.
Stupidity.
As a nation, never mind as a sporting
bizarre.
Code, it really
Why do
is.
We stand for that? Why do we stand idly by? I'm sure they're not standing idly by, but the times we've brought it up with Simo, he just goes, don't know. We don't know the answer.
Yeah, it was the semi-final last year leading in, and then we're a month later anyway.
Yeah. Mm.
So, and it's true for Olympic athletes, it's true for footballers, it's true for once you are wound up in that web, extricating yourself is as good as impossible.
Which is, hey, if it's going to be 2 years or 4 years, well, it is what it is.
That,
I'm not
right.
arguing the...
Just bring it to its...
I'm not arguing the penalty, but the poor kid doesn't know where his future holds. That's just rot.
So that's the AFL Nation pregame show for Beaumont Tiles. Save at Beaumont's mega floor tile event
on now.